Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello? Is this the must-have seen TV holiday gauntlet Thanksgiving? It is. Yes. I am aware that it's the podcast dedicated to the sitcoms of the 20th century. From The Honeymooners to Mad About You, you say. I'm actually not calling about either of those shows. My name? I'm Brett White, and I'm actually your host. And on the other line right here, I have a guest, my college pal and 70s sitcom aficionado, Ashley Spurgeon. Hello, Ashley.
Hello. Hi, Brett.
That was a lot of, that was a world I just went into. A whole world. But yeah, welcome to Must Have Seen TV, Thanksgiving.
I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah.
As soon as I saw that you were doing a podcast about TV, I said, I want to be on that podcast about TV.
Yeah, because you're the first person on the show that can speak to my sordid history. That sounds bad. My history of, we come from a group of friends and people in college where we were all obsessed with TV Land and Nick at Night.
Yeah, very, very much so. It was, it's the opposite of sordid. It's the most wholesome thing to, like, delve into, you know?
The wholesomest of wholesome things.
Talk about Mary Tyler Moore. God. It's great.
And all of us desperately tried to dress like all of them.
Exactly, yeah, so long on my hair and vests and slacks.
I remember it was like finding your white belt was like the big deal.
Because this was 2003.
Yeah.
Set the scene. Talk about the Walkman.
Yeah, it's like
white belt.
The Strokes coming back just brought this, the Strokes debuting just brought this wave of 70s, 80s weird nostalgia and like 60s throwbackness that all of our college friends just dived headfirst into.
It was very convenient because that was the Nick at Night era that we grew up with. Sort of missed the Mr. Ed, Petticoat Junction era.
Oh, yeah. But we were super into Bob and Mary, all those MTM people. And so, you're here on my second installment of the Thanksgiving Holiday Gauntlet, 2 of 3, because there's only 3 weeks in between Halloween and Thanksgiving. What is your holiday ranking? Between Thanksgiving, Halloween, and Christmas?
Christmas is number one.
Hell yeah.
Question to me. It's perfect. It's a perfect thing for kids, and it's fun, and the songs are great, and the shows are great. Number two, honestly, I guess that's a toss-up. Halloween. I had a huge discussion today about, like, what kind of candy are we going to buy for the kids, because we just moved. And, like, we talked about maybe doing full-size bars, but that'll set us up forever.
Yeah,
like,
that's a...
You can afford to, like, be the house that does that.
Yeah. There are whole episodes of TV shows. I mean, there's a whole Bob's Burgers episode about the house that gives out the full bars.
We can't... I was saying, it's like, we want to make a good impression now since we're new to the neighborhood, but not that good of an impression.
No.
So, gonna pull it back.
Yeah, good Lord.
And then Thanksgiving. I guess Thanksgiving is my least favorite of the three, not because there's anything necessarily unfun about the holiday. It's more, it's a work holiday. It's food prep and then food cleanup.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
That's Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and we got into a lot of my Thanksgiving thoughts last week. And the thing that you haven't heard yet, because last week's episode is still a couple weeks away at this point, is this episode right that we're doing today is very perfect for after coming after what I did last week. So let's tiptoe into the discussion a little bit. So this week we're traveling to November 22nd, 1975. Dog Day Afternoon ruled the box office. That's the Way I Like It by KC and the Sunshine Band ruled the box office. So that's, or rolled the top of the charts. Those are two very different things. Dog Day Afternoon and Disco. And CBS aired the Bob Newhart Show Over the River and Through the Woods. Ashley, you must have seen Over the River and Through the Woods before.
Many, many times when I was a kid, yes.
Yeah.
Frequently.
Because I think of all the people I know, you are probably one... Are you the only person I know that likes the Bob Newhart Show as much as I do?
That's honestly a little surprising to me. But now that I think about who else I know that likes the Bob Newhart Show, it's probably, yes, just you.
Yeah. It's, because, I mean, like, in college, like we were saying, everyone kind of had, like, staked out. Like, we had a friend that, like, loved Mary Tyler Moore and, like, Dick Van Dyke Show. And then there was, like, you know, some Melrose Place 90210, which is a very different genre, different era. But not many, like, everyone, like, knew who Bob Newhart was and, like, liked him a lot. But no one really staked a claim of, like, no, this is what I like.
I really imprinted on this show hard in my Nick at Night viewing when I was a kid. Like, I watched all of the Nick at Night programming, everything.
Yeah.
You watched Leave It to Beaver. The aforementioned Mr. Ed, you know, but it was all of it. But I could kind of, even as a kid, I think, tell the difference between good and bad. Like,
oh, yeah.
You go back to Mr. Ed, you know, it's like, if you have the choice between Bob Newhart and Mr. Ed, you're going to watch Bob Newhart, right?
Yeah. There's the live energy. Like, you can tell, oh, this was actually shot in front of a live studio audience with, like, joke writers that are trying to write jokes and, like, mm-hmm. A cool chemistry. And also, I mean, like, being a kid and seeing this show and seeing just like, oh, these are like older people that are like dating or like don't have kids or like they're working professionals.
In the adultness of everyone.
Yeah.
Like everyone is a grown up and looks like a grown up.
Yeah. That's definitely, I think that is definitely like the MTM brand, because I struggle to think of shows that look more like grown up than Mary Tyler Moore and Bob Newhart.
Not a sitcom. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's, and even now, like, as I'm getting, like, I'm in my 30s now, I'm in my early 30s. It's like, oh, I guess that's my template for adulthood in a way, yeah. Is Mary Tyler Moore and Bob Newhart. I mean that though.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I feel like I don't need to get much into my Bob Newhart history because I've now talked about it on two extensive episodes.
Yes.
One very recently. So yeah, let's dive into this week on Must Have Seen TV. We're talking about the Bob Newhart Show episode Over the River and Through the Woods. It is the 11th episode of season 4. It was written by Bruce Kane and directed by the man himself, James Burrows. Here's how the DVD set, because you ain't finding this on streaming literally anywhere, describes the episode. It's a stag Thanksgiving for Bob when Emily flies off to join a family reunion, leaving Bob to give the bird to all of his male buddies. What? Thanksgiving, sprinkled liberally with bottles of good cheer and generous amounts of weird nostalgia, makes it an interesting holiday. Ashley, how accurate is that description?
That's extremely accurate. And I also think that sounds like a good template for, like, any show made right now. Like,
yeah.
Weird nostalgia? Like,
yeah.
I didn't even consider this episode in that sort of way.
Yeah.
We'll get to the William and Mary bit, but yeah, that's interesting.
It's, I also really like the, whoever wrote that copy is like leaving Bob to give the bird to all of his male buddies. Like, there's a, like, you're just a copywriter writing episode synopsis. He's like, I gotta work in a double entendre. Like, I gotta work in, like, get, like,
whoever has that job, it's their dream job.
Yeah.
I can tell that from what you just read.
It's like they love this show. They're like, finally, I got the Bob Newhart Show. I get to write 144 two-sentence blurbs.
Puns, yes.
As I was saying before, this is a perfect episode to follow last week's. Our Cheers episode where me and my guest got shit-faced, basically. Halfway through the episode, my guest was like, well, we need to actually be drunk to talk about this show. So we paused it, pounded 3 beers, and came back and had a super long talk. So
that's so dangerous for this episode too. I won't suggest it since you already went there.
Yeah, and I did not recover for a good 48 hours. I was like, yeah, I can't do that anymore. Not in college anymore. At all. So that just, I guess that makes, that puts me in a mind frame to be like, I know how painful this experience, like how Bob is feeling at the end of the episode. I'm like, yeah, I was just there. I was just there. Not good. So, like all the 70 shows, this episode starts off with the opening credits, like no cold open whatsoever, just dives right into the opening credits. Mm-hmm. Wait, so did you watch this on a DVD set?
I did, yes.
Right, I did too. And so I'm trying to think if the version I saw, it was kind of a truncated theme song.
It was, yeah. I didn't immediately recognize it, to be honest, because my mom has all the DVDs and I just re-got season 4. So I've been mostly watching just streaming, which is 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, which annoys me so much. Why would you cut off halfway?
It feels like there's so much. I know that there's more that I can't access, so I'm glad I got this.
Yeah. And the only way you can buy 6 is if you get the complete series box set.
I was really excited to do the podcast, but not like that financially. Yeah, that's excited quite yet.
That's intense. That was a Christmas purchase that I made for myself last year.
This is coming up, so maybe I need to.
Tradition. Yeah, so, like, this is the opening credits where they, like, I feel like it was edited because it's Bob and Emily are both getting ready, and they both leave. It's the version where they leave and leave Howard in their apartment, but the opening credits cut before we could see Howard's reaction shot to being, hey, I'm left in the apartment alone. Which I thought was weird. And then this is also the second version of the theme song, because there are, like, 2 Bob Newhart Show themes.
I prefer the other.
Yeah. I also can't separate them in my head.
I wish I was better at music terms. The one I prefer is like bigger and brassier, and this one is a little more muted.
Yeah, okay. There's the it's very I mean, I was going, and that was like some electric mayhem I was doing just then. And now I need to take a drink of water after that. But the cult, so the episode starts proper, and Bob and Emily is making Halloween masks for her students.
Yes.
Which makes me wonder, this episode takes place over the course of 3 or 4 weeks?
Weeks, yeah, so a month, basically.
Yeah.
And my mom was a teacher, too, and that was, I felt accurate. I felt that was true to the, because I got to see the at-home teacher experience, which, you know, most kids don't do.
Yeah.
I knew how long it took to grade papers. There was stuff like that, like, oh, I got to do some dumb bullshit to show the kids to do it in class.
Well, and like the, she's making these garbage bag masks that are terrifying.
Paper bag masks.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They're grocery bag.
Yeah. Paper grocery bag with yarn hair and witch nose.
Yeah. And they make the head, like, the head is, like, parallel with the shoulders, because it's a huge garbage bag, so it just, like, the head goes flush to the shoulders.
It would make sense if it was a robot head made out of cardboard, kind of. Yeah.
But not for, like, I'm, like, little Susie something or other.
No, it's otherworldly.
Yeah. And there's a really good runner that kind of is spread throughout the opening scene of Howard coming in. He comes in the first time, talks to both of them. Emily has the mask on. He doesn't comment on it. And as he's leaving, he pokes back in and says, like, oh, Emily.
See you later, Howard. Emily, you better take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Or something.
What about your hair? Yeah.
Yeah. And then he comes back. Like, he leaves. Bob and Emily talk a little more. She puts it on and tests it out again. He comes back in and leaves. And I don't think he says anything then. But then he, like, he pokes his head back in a third time and is like, when she doesn't have the mascot and is like, did you do something with your hair? It's just like this weird, fun little runner of him quasi-noticing that Emily has a paper head.
Just a bag over her head, just, again, like you said, resting on her shoulders and making her head 3 times as large.
And wide. It's so gross.
Doesn't do human head, yeah.
He was like fucking Juggernaut or something. But that's also such a great Howard thing. I love Howard Borden, obviously. I love how absent-minded and just like, yeah, of course he probably wouldn't notice this. It maps.
How does this person even perceive the world around him? I guess.
Yeah, like, what is Howard vision? Like, is he seeing everyone as, like, weird bag people all day?
Well, he came in, was it to talk about Hawaii?
Yeah, because his, he came in to say that his wife is taking Howie, no, he's having Howie for Thanksgiving because his wife is going to Hawaii, and Howard's like,
he paid for her ticket.
Yeah, he just paid for her ticket, and he's like, yeah, I lucked out on that, and it's like, oh man, his wife is she's a player, like.
Well, she got tickets for herself and her new husband.
Yeah.
He bought both of them tickets to Hawaii so he could have his own son.
Yeah.
Giving, which is so sad.
Because he loves his kid. But Bob immediately assumes, well, that of course means that Howard and Howie are going to be coming over for Thanksgiving. And Emily's like, no,
not
we're going.
Reasonable suspicion on Bob's part.
Yeah. I mean, Howard is in there every 5 minutes. I was like, he's not going to stay on Thanksgiving, the day with the most food. Emily points out they have already agreed to go to Seattle for her family reunion, and I need to talk about this Seattle family reunion that has a hayride and square dancing.
That made no sense. That is the first note I made. I took notes while watching this episode. It was insane. Emily to Seattle. Square dance hayride? Question mark. Seattle. Yeah, that's not. No,
that's not how that works. But
I've never been to the Pacific Northwest. That said, but.
Yeah, I went to Portland, Oregon a couple years ago, and I think that now they would definitely have square dances and hayrides, but it would be ironic.
Good point.
Like,
but what was, like, 1975 Seattle like? I mean, because this is 20 years before anything,
this is,
right?
Yeah, like, six
like
years
a
before.
Town?
Yeah.
Is, I don't know.
I mean, I guess, like, baby Kurt Cobain is there, right?
Isn't he talking about what a shithole is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He doesn't want to go at all. I'm also going to talk a lot about Bob's clothes.
Well, good.
Obviously. In the opening scene, he's wearing a... I don't know. His casual wear, he fancies these shirt jackets.
There's nothing casual about it.
Yeah,
it's still very structured.
Yeah. He's wearing a brown shirt suit jacket thing over a red wide-collared shirt. And I don't know what... And then later in the episode, I wrote down disco white stripes.
Disco white stripes. His pants at the party.
Oh.
It's his pants that I adore, by the way.
Yeah, I need those pants. I want those pants so bad. But at the party later on, he's wearing a white wide-collar button-down shirt. And then another one of those... Is it a shirt or is it a jacket?
It's almost like if it was suede, it might make sense, but you can't even really tell what material things are.
It looks like it is made from a shirt material, but cut like a jacket. And so therefore it looks like he's wearing two, it's a look. and that's like a bright, like red, like the reddest red. And he has like the sleeves cuffed so you can see more of his white shirt. And it's so great. But his pants are like a black plaid.
Or like, maybe even dark brown.
Yeah. I look at it nice.
It's a lot of negative space.
Yeah.
Pattern, very thin.
It's a really thin plaid pant. Oh, I love them so much.
I was just thinking, that's like my entire aesthetic
right now.
What's great about his collared shirt at the party, too, is like the sort of like physical comedy of it where it's askew after he's drunk.
Yeah.
Where it starts pristine, and then by the time he's on the phone ordering Chinese food, like, half of it's tucked in. Like, half of the white is, like, tucked into the undershirt. It's so good.
There's also a moment of physical comedy with Howard's... at first I thought that Howard is wearing, like, a nice, like... still, like, totally looks good today, like, legit. Like, just red and navy striped sweater.
Or any man I know would wear that. It looks good.
It's great. Still looks good. Previous times I've watched this episode, I thought he's just holding it, but I watched it again today, and I noticed, no, it's like he's taken off the sweater all the way to that point of his arm and is now just holding the rest of it. Because I noted, no, he's still wearing the arm.
Right. You're right, yes.
And he's just holding the rest like a football or something. Oh, that's just great. But Bob is, he doesn't want to go to Seattle. And so he's kind of like saying,
well, you know, the holidays are the roughest times for my patients. You know, I don't like to be that far away from them.
And then we cut to an office scene where we get a Mr. Carlin appearance.
Yay!
Gotta love Mr. Carlin.
Very exciting.
And he's, he hated Halloween because no one liked his butter dishes.
Which was probably my favorite joke of the entire episode, was the entire butter dish digression.
Yeah. There's a great, like, he says, like,
I wish Emily and I had thought about that. We gave out candy.
A butter dish is forever.
It's not just that he hands out butter dishes on Halloween. He got them engraved.
Yeah.
As well, they had messages. Hey, kiddo, happy Halloween.
Yeah.
Like that.
And then there's Bob like tells him like, well, I'm going to Seattle on Thanksgiving. And Carlin's like, no, you're not. Like, I need you. That's the day I need you the most. And he gets so mad. He goes out and he asks Carol, like, would you like an engraved butter dish? And she's like, sure. He's like, you can take his. It's really great. This is the only Carol scene we get, too.
I know, yeah, that was, I thought about that, too, because Marsha Wallace was, like, very large in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's such an integral part of the show, but not in this episode. So it was a little weird. Not much Emily, either.
Yeah, that's the weird thing about these 70 shows that only had an A plot and did not do what we now know as like A plot, B plot, C plot. Whereas like you would see, like if this episode was being written now, the A plot would be Bob and the guys at home getting drunk. And then there would be a B plot where maybe Carol goes to the family reunion.
With Emily somewhere doing something else. Like, oh, Emily had to pick up Carol from the airport.
Yeah. And you would get so much more hijinks and stuff with them, which I would love. Cause I love Marsha Wallace so much.
Just, I mean, it's an overused word, but legendary.
Yeah, I think so.
Honestly, Bob Newhart show in The Simpsons. What? That's the perfect career.
I got so mad. I think I tweeted out like, I wish I could time travel back to the 80s and pitch a show starring Marsha Wallace and Patty Deutsch as mismatched sisters. Because, again, like, it's a shame that Marsha Wallace, like, The Simpsons is great, and I wish that Marsha Wallace had also had, like, a live-action leading role on another sitcom. Like, she should have got, like, the Marsha Wallace show, damn it.
I mean, look at her. She's perfect for television.
God, she's so great. So tall and lanky, big red hair.
It's, yeah. Oh, man. Tall and lanky in women always works really. I was just thinking of Caitlin Olsen.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Do you watch The Mick?
Oh, I love The Mick.
Oh my God, it's so good. So good.
Oh yeah, I could see there's a bit of a vibe there. I could see a Caitlin Olsen playing a modern day Carol.
Yeah, I mean, she's so much more physical, but yeah. That would work.
So okay. Yeah, we have to sing her praises. We have to sing Carol Kester's praises while we can, because she's out after that scene.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's the holidays, so.
Yeah, it's also kind of a shitty thing that, like, Bob is in town. He could have invited Carol over. He invites his patient over.
Yes.
Which seems to be
beyond inappropriate. I don't think that's legal.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem, that it's not above board ethically.
No. He's a bad psychologist, but also I love him. There's a really great joke when Jerry comes in. He just comes into Bob's office and immediately says, like,
hey, Bob, you want to take a chance on a turkey? What's wrong with it?
And I'm like, I love these. Just,
I'm
like,
I'm wondering if that was like 70s slang I didn't really get anymore.
Yeah.
that's my excuse for a lot of things I don't understand.
Yeah, it's just such a good, like, just set up, like, boom, boom, hey, here, heard this one? Like, it's so...
And then Jerry immediately barrels into, I'm an orphan,
which,
by the way.
He does hit a lot. Throughout the entire series, he loves bringing that up. God, I felt bad.
He won't shut up about being an orphan. Oh my God. Yeah.
But, oh, I'm trying to think, is that when, there's also the scene, like, right around then is when, Emily decides, like, to go alone. She decides to fly alone, and they bring up her fear of flying.
Oh, yes, yeah, that's right.
Which I love that callback.
You find that? Yeah, that was great. That was, like, established super early.
That was like, episode 2.
Jesus, okay. I think
that's episode 2, her fear of flying. And Bob has this really funny line of, like, he dropped her off at the airport, and he could see her, like, boarding the plane. Just
really got on that plane by herself, huh?
Yeah, all the way up the ramp, I could hear her muttering, tall bus, tall bus.
I love that. That's so good. But now that Bob has decided to, like, stick around and they're going to split up, Elliot is now, like, heal thyself. And he's like, I'm just going to sleep through the holidays.
Oh, yeah, that saying, patient, heal thyself.
Yeah. And he's like, my new goal is just sleep through all the holidays. I'm going to do all of them. Could pose a problem with Lent, but bum.
What's funny, yeah, Elliot is watching this again, just getting prepared. He's so much more sarcastic and, like, mean.
Yeah.
His delivery sometimes than you would expect.
He's so...
I guess, yeah.
I love him so. I love Jack Riley so much. And him and Jerry have a really weird chemistry, a rude energy. Because I noted that, like, Jerry comes in when he, like, interrupts Elliot when him and Bob are talking, and Jerry's like, he calls him a sick.
You're a very sick man, Carlin.
their jabs were, like, not friendly
no.
Between buds, and, like, really cruel, honestly.
And it's very weird to be like, I'm gonna come into my friend who's a psychologist and then make fun of his patients.
Yeah, exactly. Make fun of the patients that I have to see.
Also crossing so many lines.
That's why you don't invite your patients home to dinner?
No.
That's why you don't get overly chummy with your coworkers, basically.
There's a lot of... This, I think on the previous episode I did of the Bob Newhart Show, my cohort Kevin pointed out that, like, the Bob Newhart Show is basically Bob and his wife. They love each other. They're good. And then all these people that are just thrust in their lives.
Yeah, it's like friends by proximity. It's like, Oh, that's the guy down the hall. Oh, that's the guy whose office is down the hall. This is the guy who comes to my office. And that's it. The end.
And they're only friends because all these other people are just persistent and just keep coming at them.
Literally barging into their lives.
Yeah, I wrote that, like, Elliot just barges in. There's a moment where, like, he barges in and is like, Doc, I need to see you right now.
Bring us some coffee, will you, Carol?
Yeah.
And hold all Bob's calls.
Okay.
When you finish with that, you might as well take the rest of the day off.
Fine, Elliot. When can we speak about my raise?
Later, Carol. I'm busy now.
It's like, damn. Bob, like, take some control. Jeez. We at that point, we then move to basically, like, the main course of the episode, which is the Thanksgiving Day. Because Jerry's like, I'm going to come over at 9:30 because he's wanting to watch the William & Mary game.
Yes.
Which is a college.
It is.
Okay. This is where, like, football and college stuff I get.
It's named after monarchs of a period of British history I'm not super familiar with. That's William of Orange. That's like the Dutch. It's like the 17 somethings that I don't know.
That's okay. And Jerry went there.
Orphan Jerry.
Orphan Jerry. And he's there. He's wearing a William & Mary sweatshirt.
I love it.
It makes him look like a baby. Like, it makes him look like a little tiny child.
What's weird to me is that whole getup. It makes me think of, like, a 1920s college aesthetic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, but he would have been there in the 50s, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, because he's probably the same age as Bob, who was born in 29. Oh, God. It's also, that's...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, 1929.
Doing the math.
Yeah. Well, it's because, I mean, he's 88. I've been doing a lot of all this math in my head. I was like, he's 88. I have to meet him now. So he comes in, and he has... You know, helping the old-timey vibe is he has, like, an old-timey jug.
Tell at first if it was like a moonshine jug, but it's more of like a Chianti kind of like wicker stuff.
Yeah, it's like a wicker thing. He said, is it cider and vodka? Is that what he said?
Yeah. Cider and vodka, which is,
Yeah, that's a drink. And so he's like,
look at this. Every time the opposition scores, a jug like this will get us through a 62-0 drubbing. What's the score now?
38-6.
Who's winning?
Here's a glass.
This is good. And that begins their downfall of
this
drinking.
Is a scope of alcohol.
Every time Bob drinks, a doorbell goes off.
Take a swig of this, Bob. It won't matter.
That's murder.
What's the doorbell?
And that's Mr. Carlin there barging in. Did Mr. Carlin just show up, or was he invited?
I think he just showed up.
Yeah. So maybe Bob didn't.
Yeah.
But Bob did cross the line by not telling him to immediately go.
Go away.
Go away.
Private home space.
Yeah.
I'm with friends.
Also, you should not have my address.
You should not. What exactly? Well, he's in the book.
He is in the phone book. That's a plot point later on. And this is where I have written in my notes, A plus pants.
Yes. Oh, because this is when the shot, like, you actually get the full glory of the costume.
Ugh, and it's so good. And that'll be a Halloween costume at some point, maybe. This would actually be a very good deep dive group Halloween costume. Is like the four of them.
Because everyone is so, that's a good idea.
Because they're all like, Howard has that half-off sweater. Elliot is wearing his normal three-piece suit, but at the end it's like his jacket's off and I think his vest is undone.
And then the William and Mary sweater.
And then Bob's impeccable, like, white striped safari. So they gets off to like a really rough start because Elliot keeps rubbing the fact that Jerry's an orphan in his face or whatever.
Like chums do when you invite someone into your home.
Yeah.
Invite a patient into your home.
This patient that I see at my workspace is now reminding me I'm an orphan on Thanksgiving. What a turn my day has taken. And then there's another knock at the door. And who says, like, it ain't gonna be someone complaining about the noise? Is that Elliot?
Yes, yeah. I believe so. And it's Howard.
There to complain.
About the noise. He has to complain about the noise.
Just so good. And Howard is now sad.
Because,
well, Lois and her husband decided to take him with them. Now, Howie's in Maui.
Which made me laugh so much when he said that.
Yeah.
I loved it.
He said it so sweet and like, or just like sweet and heartbroken and just like, Howie's in Maui.
I know.
And so now we have all four of them. And I think it kind of like dissolve cuts into like time jump and they're all hammered.
Yes. And there's a turkey. Did we talk about the turkey?
Oh, yeah. Bob won the raffle for the turkey.
From the orphans. The orphan turkey raffle.
Yeah. That Jerry guilted him into buying a raffle because he's like, don't you know what orphans have to eat on Thanksgiving because they don't have enough money? Meatloaf. And Bob's like, because you're
the turkey.
You're raffling away the turkey. So they have this like rinky-dink little turkey. It looks like a Boston Market like rotisserie chicken.
It's so small. At first I thought it was just like, wow, I thought about hormones.
Yeah.
I thought about like, what are we eating now? Was that a 70? But then there was a joke that it was absurdly small, and
yeah,
that made me feel a lot better.
Bob says like it looked like he pulled it off of the ledge out there or something.
Yeah, pigeon size.
Yeah. I want to talk about how all four of their drunk personas, because they're all kind of a different type of drunk. Like Elliot's still, I mean, he's kind of still the same.
Yeah, he's probably used to that kind of drunk.
If we're yeah.
Honest about this show.
Howard's more like kind of childlike wondery. He's
giggly.
Yeah.
Goofy.
Jerry is, well, it's like all her personalities are kind of heightened because Jerry is just kind of insufferable.
Exactly. And also, the football isn't helping.
Yeah. He just keeps screaming about everything, like, you said...
Why don't we sit out for some pizza?
You said pizza. Do you want to say pizza, but you said pizza, didn't he, Bobby?
He's just obnoxious.
Yeah.
Generally, it's so hard.
And then...
Just watching sitcoms and thinking of, like, the analogs in, like, real life, it's like, what would it actually be like to be around a Jerry? What would it actually be like to be around a Howard? You know? So the patience, the saint-like patience, honestly, of Bob and Emily, who have to, like, you know...
Put up with them.
These. Yeah.
Because, yeah, I mean, like, Jerry is one of the more... No one really talks about him as a character that much. I mean, no one talks about this show enough, period.
I agree.
But, like, him as a character, they do a really good job of... He's kind of like a Schmidt from New Girl. Like, he's got this really... Like, there's an episode where he either comes into money or is having a midlife crisis and just starts wearing nothing but, like, leather and buys, like, a car and is just, like, super sleazy about it.
I mean, he's kind of a dirtbag.
Yeah.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But he's always wearing that, like, orthodontist smock, so you think he's, like, nice and sweet.
He's like, oh, he's a nice dentist. He's a pediatric orthodontist. He's only works with kids, you know? It's like, no, dirtbag.
But he's kind of selfish. And then Bob is, like, the best drunk actor.
So good.
Just the way, like, all of his, the way he, like, the patience, the, like, mild swaying he will do.
Things with his eyes.
Yeah.
He just, like, blinks and stuff.
It really plays into the fact that he's such a good straight man deadpan actor. So, to do that, you have to be really in tune with, like, nuance, like, facial expression and, like, things like that to make being a straight man funny, and he, like, really hypes that up for playing drunk, where he is just, like, doing all the same straight man stuff, but it's, like, slightly wobbly. Like, when...
A little bit louder, like, not loud.
Yes.
But just, yeah. Like, 1 degree louder.
And I love, like, when Emily comes in later, and his, like, line is like,
ah. Bob! Hi, Emily, what's happening?
It's so good.
It was funny.
They decide to, like, Howard is like, I heard you shouldn't eat or drink on an empty stomach, so we need to eat something. And Bob's like, well, we'll cook the turkey. And they get it out, and it's just, like, frozen solid. And so they try to...
sit on the counter.
Yeah, and they try to start cooking it. And there's this really funny joke of, like...
It's ridiculous. We can cook that in a half hour. We'll just turn it up to 2,000 degrees.
It only goes up to 500. Then we'll use four ovens.
Those kinds of jokes where it goes 1 degree further, I guess.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be done.
Because when, like, Jerry, like, actually physically pulls off the oven knob, it's like it only goes to 500. He's holding it. So, like, that's like a physical sign of, like, the joke is done because I'm holding it.
I don't remember which episode it's in, but there's one joke where Emily says something like, oh, do you remember that foster boy you grew up with? And is like, oh yeah, Jim Foster. It's like, it kills me. I just love that so much. It's so simple.
Yeah. There's so much of that in the Bob Newhart show of just like, its weirdness is in its simplicity. Like that, like a drunk math joke is a weird joke. It's very simple, but also just like slightly off.
Even just like something like Howie's in Maui. It's
yeah.
Like, oh, that sounds, so we'll just write that they're going to Hawaii.
Yeah.
For the holidays. I love it.
And so they decide to like now order some Chinese food, which gets to the most, I mean, honestly, probably this is probably the most iconic episode of Bob Newhart.
Most, I think so, yeah.
So they're on the phone. The what?
The finale. Oh, that's Newhart.
Yeah, but, well, but that's also Bob Newhart show.
Yeah.
So Bob is on the phone and he's like, everyone's ordering more like good, more. Oh my gosh. Mugu Gai Pan.
Yes.
Which I just had a hard time saying out loud sober. There's a really good joke of like,
I have another Mugu Gai Pan.
More good as all.
And then it gets to like, Bob is now like, when he's like giving them the address, he's like, look it up in the book. My first name. How do you spell it?
Dur Bob Hunley. Dur. DR period.
And then he hangs up the phone on the table, not on the receiver.
Also, a good example of, you know, when it's like, uh-oh, it's the 70s and someone is about to order Chinese food, this might get dicey. And it never does.
Yeah, that's the thing I noticed by watching all 70s sitcoms, is I guess that Chinese food became a national thing in the 70s because there are so many jokes about Chinese food.
Oh, that's interesting.
In both in Bob Newhart and Mary Tyler Moore, there are so many jokes about it not filling you up or having like weird names or
clovers and yeah.
Yeah. That's and or, you know, having cartons of it, and it's just such a big joke.
I wonder if it would have been like New York. And then everywhere else, probably in the 70s.
Yeah. I watched the Search for General Tso documentary.
Ooh.
It's about the origin of General Tso's chicken and about how that is. And, like, trying to find out what it actually is. Because it is it's an American food that's an approximation of Chinese food. Which is what, like, Mugu Gai Pan and all of it is. It's all...
Yeah, it's not a thing.
It's not real. And they actually, like, in that documentary, they take pictures of General Tso's chicken to China and show people there, like, what would you call this? What is this? And everyone there is like, what the fuck is that? That's insane looking. And it's a really interesting thing because it tracks it, you know, it is really talking about, like, Chinese immigration to America. And then, of course, all the bullshit and all the, like, legislation and laws. And, like, there is a joke when they're like, we'll call my favorite Chinese place. And like, what's it called? And Bob's like, it's actually a laundromat. Which is like a really funny joke. But if you like know about the history of America, and it's like, well, in San Francisco in like the early 1900s, the only jobs that Chinese people could legally have were like laundromat and restaurant.
Exactly. Yeah.
So like, that is not an intentionally racist joke, but it is a joke that benefits from the racist history of our country. So hooray.
Yeah, and as far as the phone conversation goes, like, it's not really, like, making fun of the name.
No, it's them being drunk.
Drunk, exactly.
Yeah.
The fact that they're drunk is the joke,
Because Bob says, like, Mugu Gugu or something, and then Jerry, annoyingly.
Baby food.
God, Jerry just can't let it go. Just keeps saying it, and it's like, oh, God, Jerry. Calm
hey,
down.
Remember the time you did this embarrassing thing? That's Jerry.
Yes. God, yes. And also, throughout this entire thing, which is why it's really hard to talk about this scene, is that it is so tightly written. Because throughout this entire drunk main course of the episode, there's a knock-knock joke runner.
Yes, throughout. Yeah, which, what, 7 minutes, 5 minutes? What?
Yeah, and it keeps coming back as either... people tapping the turkey against the table, they respond with who's there, and then Carlin just trying to tell knock-knock jokes, and then people actually being at the door, and it all has different permutations, and they all respond to them in different ways, and it's so good. It's just, I don't know how you would even write it or perform it. Before we recorded it, this episode has a commentary track, on the DVD with James Burrows, who directed it, and then Jack Riley, who played Mr. Carlin, and Bob Newhart. And it's worthless unless you just want to listen to them basically watch and laugh.
I laughed the whole time. I watched it too. I thought that I was gonna bring that up when we got to like the climax of the scene. We're like, oh yeah,
it's just them laughing, which is adorable. Of just like, of course they probably have not seen this episode in like 20 years, and it's like bringing memories. And so, but the one thing I did know was, like, Jack Riley said, like, I was nervous about messing up the rhythm of this because it was written so tightly. And I was like, ah, that's some insight in this.
And even just watching it, like, this scene is where you definitely notice the sort of, like, stage play aspect of sitcoms of this type. You know, it always is, like, when they're in the office or when Emily's there in the beginning, but when it's, like that snappy, like moving, it's like you're really aware of like the sort of play aspect of it.
It's a good, like, I mean, James, there's a reason, you know, James Burrows is still the living legend, still directing Will and Grace today, like crazy. Because the episode, the staging starts out in like living room, then it goes to the kitchen, then they go up behind the couch, there's people on the couch, then Bob's on that corner table on the phone, and then they're all on the couch. Like, it does this like loop around.
Bob's carrying the phone like with him.
Yeah.
And then he slams it down on the table. There's no receiver. Just like, that was my other favorite.
I love that moment. And it's such a good, because right before that, what makes that really work for me is that right before that, he's having a weird like status play where he's like, "Duh, there's no reason why he needs to tell the Chinese restaurant that he is a doctor."
He's a doctor, exactly.
But then as soon as he like hangs up that phone on no receiver and has this like smug look on his face, he's immediately undercut. And it's like, you're so stupid.
You're alone on Thanksgiving with your patient.
Your asshole friend and your moochie neighbor. But I think, like, Howard is a better friend than Jerry, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay. And Carol needs more love. Carol should be there, too. Emily then comes home because she, like, missed Bob. And there's a whole another, like, knock-knock. Is that the food? We just, or, like, there's a whole misunderstanding. She walks in, and then we get the, "Hi, Emily, what's happening?" And she's like, "Oh, my God. You're so drunk."
I think about it, too, from, like, Emily's perspective. You know, your husband is just like, "No, I don't want to go to your family's house for this holiday."
Yeah.
And then you come home, and he's drunk.
With this patient that you probably...
basically, yeah.
That you probably... Emily's probably told him many times, like, "Hey, stop. Stop.
Your patients in my house. I'm a teacher. This is inappropriate."
Stop this. Then she's like, "We're gonna get you some coffee." And then this great line of like,
Bob, "I think I'll make you some coffee."
"I love coffee. I love tea. I love the Java Jive, and it loves me."
Which is, I looked up, is a reference to a 40s, I think, a standard or a musical.
Okay, so, I did not get that.
Because, again, that was one of those things where I was like, okay, everyone knew that, so that's too specific.
It was obviously a reference to something.
Yeah. It was too specific for Elliot to just come up with out of nowhere.
The 40s, so that would have been, so then 30 years later, so that's like...
If someone's making 80s references. The Java Jive is their, "I wear my sunglasses at night." I don't know. That's...
Whoever at the Java Jive is the Corey Hart.
Yeah, I think so. That's the weird thing about watching these old sitcoms is you get you realize that the shared pop culture like knowledge was so specific about like standards and musicals.
Yes. Like, and even on something like, I recently watched old episodes of Name That Tune.
Oh, yeah.
Someone did not get a song from Grease. It was literally like...
Yeah.
I was blown away. They did not get a Grease song, but they got like, "That Sweet Spring Morning" or something.
Yeah.
some 1950s kind of musical thing that I've never heard of in my life.
Yeah. It's so interesting to see that play out. Because, I mean, like, the fact that, like, End of Mary Tyler Moore Show, they all sing Long Way to Tipperary. Which, again, like, I only know that because of the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
I know, and I have this, and correct me, do you have the same thing with, like, you have this pop culture frame of reference that is way deeper than a lot of your peers.
Yeah.
Because we watched like these 70s shows when we were kids in the 90s, and these 70s shows were referencing things from the 40s.
Yeah.
Like, I think about this, like, why the hell do I know who Fatty Arbuckle is?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like, it's so random. Bizarre.
And yeah, that's the thing of like, we all grew up on like Looney Tunes, which were made in the 50s, but referencing like movie stars of the 30s and 40s.
Yeah.
And we were watching them in the 80s and 90s. Why? Who knows? And now I do see weird things with like the interns at work and stuff. Since everything is on YouTube, nothing is in a context anymore. And so you'll be like, oh, when did that come out? Like the 60s? Is that like... Is yeah. that the Cheers episode from like 67 or something? It's like, oh my God, Cheers is from the 80s. Cheers is the most 80s show. What do you?
I have a coworker who referred. He said he talked about Eddie Murphy movies from the 60s. Like, oh, no. Eddie Murphy was like born in the 60s.
Yeah, so he used home movies. What?
I mean, the 80s, the 60s, and the 80s were two different decades, my dear. Oh man.
Because I really like, no, like, I'm all about context. Every decade has a story. Know the story.
I agree. VH1.
Yeah. They taught me well. So yeah, the episode ends with, like, they're all out. Bob now has a hangover.
When, by the way?
I guess.
Is it immediately? Like, did Emily kick everyone out and he's already hungover? I couldn't tell, like, how long has
yeah.
passed.
Well... I would imagine if Jerry got there at 9:30, I bet maybe like the meat of the episode. Okay. Was it dark outside?
It was.
Oh,
yeah. I guess they started getting drunk first thing in the morning. Good point.
So I guess that's probably like 5. Maybe all that's taking place at like 5 p.m. I can see that. Like it gets dark a little bit earlier, so maybe it's like 5 or 6 p.m. Maybe yeah. Emily's kicked them out. It could be like 11 p.m. and Bob would probably be feeling a hangover. Maybe. If he's gotten pumped full of coffee and hasn't had anything more
that
to drink
sense.
For like
yeah.
6 hours. Oh no, but then because the thing that throws us all off
probably,
is the
of course, yeah.
the Chinese food comes.
It comes on a dolly, on
yeah.
a trolley.
And it's $93 worth.
For what would you say? 60? You have to measure this in pounds. I would say that's about 60 pounds of
oh,
Chinese
yeah.
food.
He says, like, they ordered, like, one of everything. We only had 12 forks.
That goo, they just, like, added a box. Yeah.
So much. Yeah, it's a great ending.
It was a great episode. It's so funny. It makes me laugh out loud.
Yeah. And I love Bob so much, obviously. I love a good drunk Bob episode. We can move on to the trivia portion. So, on average, season 4 of the Bob Newhart Show, 20.7 million people watched it every week on average. That's fine. That's good. But it was ranked 26th for the season.
Wow.
This is actually the last season that is in the top 30. It falls down to like 50-something for its last season. It was tied with Donnie and Marie and something called The Streets of San Francisco.
I don't think I've ever even heard of it. Is that a cop show?
Yeah. It's definitely a cop show.
Like three channels.
Yeah.
Three channels.
The top 5 shows of the 75-76 TV season were The Bionic Woman at 5, number 4, Maude, number 3, Laverne and Shirley, 2, Rich Man, Poor Man, and number 1, All in the Family.
Wow.
I realized this is the first season that All in the Family was not on Saturday night. So this is, it had moved to Mondays at this point and took Maude with it or whatever, or was paired with Maude over there. So all of CBS's Sunday night programming, like Mary Tyler Moore wasn't in the top 10. Like it had all kind of dipped a
yeah.
little bit. And Bob was like the lowest rated of the 4, I think. But still plenty of people watched it. It's important, damn it.
Yeah, and you know what? It's sort of in between. What was the movie? It wasn't Taxi Driver.
Wait, Dog Day Afternoon?
Dog Day, yeah, it's sort of in between Dog Day Afternoon and Disco. You know, it's...
Yeah. Oh, what a wild time. God. So the IMDb rating, 69 users rated this a 9.2.
That seems fair.
Yeah, I would say that. I would say those 69 users are accurate. Also, more people need to rate this show. That's my call to arms, our call to action. So in 1997, TV Guide rated this the number 9 greatest TV episode of all time.
Wow. You know what? It wouldn't even be on their radar today.
No. There's
on their radar.
Evidence. So at that time, in 1997, on the list, it is in between The Dick Van Dyke Show, Coast to Coast, Big Mouth, which is the episode where Laura reveals Alan Brady wears a toupee on live TV.
Yes.
And the number 10 the number 10 episode was X-Files' Clyde Bruckman's Final Repose. So, I'm on board.
Okay. I want to find that. I want to look. Can you have that entire list?
Okay, cool. I googled it and like found it.
Okay.
Or it might even be on Wikipedia. But it's like, that's nuts. Like, it's like Dick Van Dyke, Bob Newhart Show, X-Files. Three of my favorite episodes of TV, so... But then in 2009, they redid the list and kind of, like, purposefully skewed it to new shit. So...
Yeah, it's all just, like, The Sopranos.
The Lost pilot is in the top 10.
Wow!
So this...
All time?
Yeah. So this episode in 2009, it dropped to number 37. And it was in between the Star Trek The Next Generation episode Best of Both Worlds, which I do believe is where... It's a Borg. Picard gets taken over by the Borg, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then it was right...
The serious one.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's good. And then it was right ahead of the S.H.I.E.L.D. episode, Possible Kill Screen.
I've never watched the S.H.I.E.L.D.
So I've never watched the S.H.I.E.L.D. But again, like... I guess that kind of shows you how TV changed between 97 and 2009. Because in 97, it was like a list dominated by sitcoms. Because the number one episode was Chuckles Bites the Dust... in 2009, it's like in between Star Trek and The Shield. It's like, well, we're now into drama. It's like
everything got so much grittier.
Yeah.
Even though the sitcoms are what this, you know, a mental patient telling a dentist that he's an orphan.
Yeah. That should be the DVD blurb for this episode.
It sounds like my dream job, honestly.
Yeah. Who would you say had the must-see performance in this episode?
I'd have to go with Bob just because of the drunk.
Yeah.
The drunk scene.
It's hard to top his... I mean, he plays drunk the best of literally anyone. And anytime he does it, it's amazing.
It's so funny and so good. With as many actors as usual, I guess, like we said, minimal Carol. Minimal.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to do a Carol heavy episode. The previous one we did was Caged Fury, and that one is more of an ensemble, but Bob and Emily are separated the entire time, so.
So this is now 2 for 2, Bob and Emily separated for you.
Oh yeah. Aww. Huh. Must other people see this episode of television?
Yes.
Yeah.
Most definitely, especially around these wonderful Thanksgiving holidays.
These hot and humid Thanksgiving holidays. Yeah, I definitely think this is like, I mean, that's why it was a no-brainer for me to include, because I think this is one of the most iconic Thanksgiving episodes of all time. And I guess, like, Thanksgiving is, it's essential. I mean, there's football and drinking and...
It's not my big holiday, so I don't have any real traditions.
What is it?
Going up to Boston to see my boyfriend's family this year. But I don't have, like, Thanksgiving TV that I watch.
Yeah,
so,
there aren't enough specials.
Thanks for pulling and getting me back on this, because I haven't seen this episode in a really long time.
Yes, yeah, I definitely think people need to see it. Track it down somehow. I guess buy the DVD.
It's on Amazon. I had it in, like, 2 days. I think it was under $20. And then I have so many more. I have all of season 4.
Yeah, you got, like, 24 episodes to watch.
It's a bargain.
Yeah, those seasons were so long back then. That's what people griping about... I don't want to pay $10 for a Mary Tyler Moore season on iTunes, and it's like, that's like
so
60
many
cents. It's like, not only is it like 24 episodes, it's also, they're all like 25 minutes long.
Exactly. I noticed that, and this was 24 minutes and some seconds.
Yeah. So yeah, thank you so much for running the turkey gauntlet.
Thank you so much. I had so much fun.
Yeah. Where can people find you on the internet if they want to talk about Bob Newhart?
Oh, they can find me on Twitter at Ash Spurge. A-S-H-S-P-U-R-G-E. I'm mostly funny.
Yeah, and are you still doing Nashville recaps?
I am still doing Nashville recaps for the Nashville scene. It comes back in January. I didn't know I was going to be doing this for like 7 fucking years. It's been so long. It's not been ever canceled.
Yeah, they just...
Think about that. It's like, now it's on CMT, and Connie Britton's not there, and yeah. Now it's about teenagers. Like, it's great.
It's exclusive to Hulu, or, like, Hulu gets the episodes quickly?
I'm not sure.
There's some sort of weird Hulu partnership, I think. I don't know.
I watch it on the TV still. I'm worried I'm going to have to watch it.
Good stuff. So good.
Well, thank you again, Brett. This is so much fun.
Thank you for coming out. And that does it for this week's episode of Must Have Seen TV, the Thanksgiving Holiday Gauntlet Part 2. Thanks again to my guest, Ashley Spurgeon, for dropping by and talking about the Bob Newhart Show with me this week. Next week, the Thanksgiving Holiday Gauntlet concludes with You Knew It Was Coming, a Friends episode. We'll be talking about the Friends episode, the one with Chandler in a box. The one with Chandler in a box is the season 4 Thanksgiving episode. So that means it's episode number 8 of season 4. You can stream Friends on Netflix, and you can also buy that episode on iTunes or Amazon. Until then, send your questions about sitcoms to musthaveseentv@gmail.com, and I will answer any if I get any. You can follow the podcast on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Tumblr, where I post GIFs of every episode at musthaveseentv. If you like what you've heard, please, I beg you to rate and review the show on iTunes, and I will read your review on air if it's good. And if it's bad, then see ya. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Brett White. You can read the words that I write at Decider.com, including my piece about millennials and why they should love Bob Newhart, which eventually led to me meeting Bob Newhart, which you can hear that whole adventure a couple episodes back in the bonus episode Brett Meets Bob. You can check out my sitcom t-shirts and stickers, which includes 2 Bob Newhart designs, at tpublic.com/user/Brett White. The theme song this week is, well, I mean, it's Patricia's Moving Picture by The Go Team, but at the beginning of the episode was a Bob Newhart interstitial music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. Thanks to all y'all for listening, and I'll see y'all next week on Must Have Seen TV.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.